Good evening. 2 Timothy 3:16. That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And we did look at some crucial truths about the fact that faith in Christ will be to us the word of truth from the Old Testament. Faith in Christ. That is, how you will know an utterance of God in the Old Testament is when he doesn't require anything at all but faith. That's how you will recognize an utterance of God in the Old Testament. Like I was sharing some other time, and I'll repeat it again, I think it was the law in Genesis, that if you look at many religions and historical facts about religion, about God, transcending different cultures, you discover that the stories in scriptures in the Old Testament and those stories, they seem to have similarities. The only difference is what we have just said, faith. That element of faith in Christ, which was, as it were, in the Old Testament, in a promissory note by prophecy. So it distinguishes the historical records that, like I said, other religions will have it, the same way many religions have the story of Noah's ark and the flood and stuff like that. But the difference and what separates, that's why he says the Holy Scriptures. Remember that there's not the Holy Scriptures. And we said the word holy there means, aside other books available, this one stands out. So there were other records. There were other things that people said. There were other books about history of man and God. And about, you have people called Zeus and things like that. I say Zeus. This was also Zeus. Zeus said this. Zeus also did this. The distinction is faith in Christ. And that gives you what the utterance of God is. And that's why Hebrews 2 says, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of the word, how shall we escape so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken of by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? So that makes the books distinct. That's our study of the Old Testament. We see the utterance of God in the faith element. Don't ever forget that. So, it says faith in Christ. And then in verse 16, it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And don't forget, Paul said the same thing about the glorious gospel of this blessed God. He said, the law was made for sinners. 1 Timothy 1:9. And when you go to the four gospels, and you will see that consistent statement about sinners, which is the word amatolos. Sinners in the four gospels will refer to what? Will refer to sinners according to the law. Because that's the only way you can call someone a sinner, based on the law. So the law was not made for the righteous man, it was made for sinners. So when you hear there was a sinner or a publican, or when Jesus says that even the sinners love themselves, he's saying that from your law, those you call sinners, they love themselves. When you see, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, that's righteous by works. Sinners by works. Do you understand? Righteous by the law, and sinners by the law. So when he says, I've not come to call sinners, but righteous, but sinners, it's like a figure of speech. Even though, for God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but has everlasting life. So his death was for everybody. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world away. So those statements are qualified within the ambit of the law. That's why you see that the term sinners changed in its usage in the epistles. Does it make sense to you? So you must see that sinners, why were they called sinners? Sinners according to the law. Why were they called righteous? Righteous not by faith, righteous through works, which Jesus said was hypocritical too. Are we together here? Are we there? That's why he said that if you think that those that died by that disaster, you think they are worse sinners? That is, do you think by the law you have done better than they have done? So Jesus' statements were based on the law. Does it make sense to you? Very good. So when he has sinners to repentance, he's not referring to what we'll call a sinner today. That's why when Paul also uses the word, God commended his love towards us while we were yet sinners. So what will pronounce a man as a sinner will still be the law. Romans 3:19-20. That all may become guilty. So it is within the guilt of the law that Paul will call people sinners. So the statement of calling a man amatolos will come from what? The judgment of the law of sin and death. I believe I explained this some time back. So you don't use the term sinners loosely. Okay? So you look for that and get that. So all scripture is given by inspiration of God, verse 16, 2 Timothy 3, and is profitable for didaskalion, profitable for teaching, explanation, and then he calls it, he says, for persuasion, eleko. So there's persuasion. The same word in Hebrews 11:1, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the persuasion, which is the word eleko, substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. So, salvation through faith in Christ is the doctrine of the Old Testament. That's the doctrine that we have in the Old Testament. I want you to listen very well and intelligently. Salvation through faith in Christ is the doctrine that we have in the Old Testament. Now let's see something here. Luke 24. I want you to pay very good attention and borrow me your ears. Luke 24. Look at this. Now, the story was Jesus just rose from the dead, and listen carefully now. And then, do you know that when Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15:3, he said the gospel that we delivered unto you, verse 1, then he got to 3, he said how Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, which is, it is found in the scriptures. Because when Jesus himself rose from the dead, his explanation was according to the scriptures. How he was buried and raised again the third day, according to the scriptures. So, even if the eyewitness account didn't give him anything, Paul's authority of the gospel came from the written word, the graphe, that is what was written. So listen to this now. So here is Jesus, he's raised from the dead, and some women saw him, you know, and all that. Then he had these disciples, they were having an argument over what, you know, musings and all that and all that. And then listen to this, because I want you to see this very clearly. Then, Luke 24, then he said to them, why do you have this kind of communication, verse 17? And then they said, are you a stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not known the things that have come to pass here in these days? And then he asked them in 19, what things? He said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty indeed. Okay? Again, you know we said that what distinguishes Christianity and its account of God from other faiths, open your ears very well, is in the resurrection of Jesus. I'll repeat what I said earlier. Many faiths have the account of the Old Testament. And it's not that they copied the Old Testament. It was a general idea of God in the world. Okay? But Moses, who penned down those first books, penned it down in the light of faith in Christ. That's why when he opened up, saying in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, is not unique to his account. Then he says the earth was without form and void. Toho boho. Then he says there was darkness. Strange. If there was nothing, how did you identify darkness? Moses starts his writing by talking about salvation. Because by saying, you say, God says, let there be light, or light be, better still in the Hebrew, it can't be the sun, because that was created after. So Moses starts his books. The very first reason why Moses wrote was salvation through faith, which is in Christ. Because the light in Genesis is a person. So, that separates all the histories. Most religions, I repeat myself, have a lot of those stories and all that. You know, the distinction is faith in Christ. And when we say faith in Christ, is faith in his resurrection for our justification. Romans 1:2. The gospel of God, okay, Romans 1:1, which was given by the prophets, okay, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, made the seed of David according to the flesh. Then he says, he was marked out, horizo, H-O-R-I-Z-O, declared the Son of God by the Spirit of Holiness according to the resurrection from the dead. That is the crucial detail of the gospel, not history. So, even if some accounts given by Moses, we're going to talk about Moses' teaching ministry on Monday, some accounts seem, you know, somehow, the key element is faith in Christ. Don't forget that. So, Jesus is here again, so he sees his disciples, Luke 24, and they say what things? So they began to tell the prophet and all that, connected. Look at what they are saying. We trusted, verse 21, that it had been that you should have redeemed Israel, and beside all today, to this day, this since these things were done. Notice that in their discussions, they didn't even act like they hoped he would rise from the dead. They just said, we trusted that he would redeem Israel, that they were hopeless, and all that. Then they said, well, look at what he said. Certain women of our company made us astonished, which were earlier at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision that he was alive. Seven of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it not, but him they saw not. Then this is the golden thing. He now said, O fools, slow of heart, to believe all that the prophet has spoken. Ought not. Notice that. It summarizes the Old Testament in one sentence. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, which is the word diamenio. You know diamenio already. Diamenio means to give an interpretation. He wasn't hiding. Jesus added nothing to the Old Testament. His explanations of the Father, which he said they had never seen, was from the Old Testament. He added nothing to it. He expounded in all of the scriptures the things concerning himself. In other words, he interpreted it to them. Notice what he interpreted. He did not interpret the whole Old Testament. That would be needless. He interpreted the things, specific, H-O, the things, pragma, O pragma, that is actions, events, concerning himself. In other words, he interpreted the promises. He can't be interpreting actions. And don't forget, he said, believe what the prophet has spoken. So he was not interpreting symbols. I've explained to you that symbols are darkened sayings. They are darkened expressions. It was not inter. So people say, well, this one is the Christ. That one is the Christ. This one is the Christ. Let's stop that joke. Jesus interpreted words. Words. He was not interpreting objects. Words. Because faith can only come by words. So we mustn't go into the illusory interpretation of scripture by trying to say, well, the shoe of Nabal, the shoe of Nabal is like the gospel. You see something else. Words. Words. That's why you find the word graphe and gamma, 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16, will be words. You have known words. So, pay attention. By the time he was done, look at what he called them. He said, oh fools. The word fools is the word anestos. Look at where it's used. Pay attention. It's the exact opposite of repentance. You know, anestos is the word, you know, nestos is where you have neo or nohus, which is your mind or your understanding. Listen very well. You find it used in Romans 1:4. It calls, this is important. Look at that Romans 1:4. In God's holy name, see something. Put your hands, they were coming back. Romans 1:4. Sorry, 1:14. I'm a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. And to the wise and to the unwise. Not too nice. That is, I have a responsibility to the unwise. Then in Galatians 3, 1 and 3, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? In verse 3, are you so foolish? In 1 Timothy 6:9 and Titus 3, 3, it refers to people who teach the law. Two places. It says they are foolish. So, in four places where the word anestos was used, it's used for those people with the law. 1 Timothy 6:9, Titus 3:3. 1 Timothy 6:9 may be exempted, but Titus 3:3, Galatians 3:1-3, and of course Romans 1:14. So, anestos means alpha neo. That means you are not even using your mind. Alpha is negative. Okay, so meta noai is use it otherwise. So the opposite of foolish is repentance. Do you understand? Uh-huh. So meta noai and anestos is just opposite of each other. In the two instances, what is common? Your understanding. So, the man who is foolish is not applying his understanding to what? The scriptures. The man who is repentant is applying his mind to what? Does it make sense? No, so follow this one. Listen well. He says, slow of heart. The word heart is cardia. Cardia is not used for the physical heart that pumps blood. Cardia means understanding. It's used for emotions, for mind, your mind, your will. That's slow, which is the word bradus. You know that. Bradus simply means you are picking up gradually, but you are following lazily. Now the key word is slow of heart to believe. Okay? So, whatever he was interpreting will be words of faith. To believe. So, the first thing was they were slow of heart in their understanding to believe. So mark the word. Two things he has said they have done. They have not used their minds well. And because they have not used their minds well, they have not believed. Because we said that God made man a believing spirit. Can you remember that? And he believes by using his mind. So, notice something. And this is very, very key. It's with his own disciples who have seen him, who were with him for 3.5 years, statistically wise. Then he talks to them and said, look, he now took time and he explained to them in all of the scriptures. People think that what he did was that he went from Genesis to Malachi, page by page. No. That was not what he did. The things. So, not everything is about him. You can create a beautiful sermon from the Old Testament. Good for you. It will be morally appealing. Historically delicious. Mentally engaging. But what makes it God's word is the element of faith. Are you there? Very critical. So, what's Jesus now? Now, in verse 37, when he was done with them, notice what they said. No, sorry, not 37. Verse 32. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Dianogio, Dianogo. He opened it. Now, that is what? Across. So, when you say he opened, and we hear the word dianogio is used for something that happens for the first time. Pay attention. For the first time. So, for the very first time. See, they have been reading scriptures. That's not the point. He opened it by going across. So, dianogio is used for the birth of children, or something that is open for the first time. Luke 2:23, the first time, first child. Mark 7:34, that should be opening of ears for the first time. So the first time, for the very first time, this will amaze you. He had been teaching them. Did you notice that? Jesus never, look at me well. Jesus never spent time explaining scriptures like this before. The Sermon on the Mount hardly had a scripture. If you have heard, now I see. The Sermon on the Mount is arguably where you can say he quoted the Old Testament the most. He taught in parables. Matthew 13:34. But this was the first time that Jesus went deliberately from Genesis to Malachi, the things concerning himself. So, the resurrection is a critical event in understanding God. He had to wait. Are you following what I'm saying? It's an important event. It's not just, okay, resurrection from the dead and all that. No. It's the high point of Christianity. That's why Paul says, if he's not raised from the dead, then our preaching is vain. It's not if the blind don't see, the lame don't walk. That's not it. That's important. The miraculous is part of Christianity, but that's not the faith of Christianity. Are you there? That's what we call the gospel. That is the gospel. So watch this. So, did our hearts not burn as he opened to us the scripture? The word dianogio can also be seen. So we see, we're going to see other places now. So as this was left, they seem to have changed in the way they spoke. They now rose up, verse 33, and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. This should blow. It shouldn't blow your mind anyway. And they told and saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how it was known of them in the breaking of the bread. So, that means they were sharing the gospel to the apostles. Are you following this? Now, from when did they know he was risen from the dead? They didn't even know he was the one talking. What they saw was somewhere. Come on, talk to me. The scriptures. So you can see, from that point, they were bold enough to, he has risen from the dead. Because he opened their minds to see from the written word. Now, this set is different. So as they were speaking, Jesus appeared. Then he says, peace unto you. They were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Notice this crowd is different. Are you listening to this? Good. And he said unto them, why are you so troubled? And why do your hearts arise in your heart? Will thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, is I myself. Handle me and see. For his spirit has no flesh and blown as you see. And then, okay. Then they did it. They actually gave him the meat. So he gave them. Then he took it and ate before them. And he said unto them. In other words, what said was in the Greek is a continuous thing. He was now saying to them. In other words, he began to do the same thing he did for those guys on the road to Emmaus. Pay attention. These are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms, peri, concerning who? Me. Did he read the whole law of Moses? No. He had already told you, Moses said, now I say, he couldn't be interpreting that to mean himself. Is that okay? Is it making sense? Okay. Now look at another element here. Then verse 45. Are we in 45? So 44 again. So can we say verse 44 and verse 27 are the same? Huh? 44, 27 the same. Good. You know, it didn't start by saying, I'm up from the dead. Check me. Then he proved it to them that, no. He proved his resurrection from the scriptures. So, even looking at him, what did he expect them to do? To believe. So, touching him was not faith. Faith can only come by the written word. Are you following what I'm saying here? So, let's see this. And here he goes. Then verse 45. He opened ear their understanding. The same word that Nogio, which is verse 36, verse 32. He opened their understanding. Don't forget the word understanding. Earlier on, we said anastos, they were without thinking. They didn't think well. So he opened their understanding. Luke uses the word here, nohus. N-O-U-S, which is their mind. Their intellect. So, he opened their intellect. That word is used 24 times for thinking. He made them think. Think within what? Think in the scriptures. What's the scriptures now? Genesis to Malachi. He opened their understanding. That word dianogio, you see what it does. In Acts 7:56, put your hands there, we're coming back there. Acts 7:56. Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. So, the word is used for clarity. Then most importantly, Acts 16 verse 14. A certain woman named Lydia, a daughter, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended to the things which were spoken of Paul. So again, our hearts the Lord opened, which will refer to what? Our understanding of what were the things Paul was speaking, the scriptures. So look at Acts 17, verse 4, verse 3 first of all, anyway. Now, verse 3 says, opening, dialogio, and alleging. Now, what was he doing? Verse 2. Let's take verse 2 together. And Paul, as his manner was, went into them, and three Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of where? Look at verse 3. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Are you there? Very good. So, when he opened their understanding, what happened to them? Put your hands there. Let me show you one more. I think the wrong text. I forgot. Romans 14 verse 5. Look at this. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own reasoning. So, what was produced when he opened their understanding? Persuasion. That was when they believed. Do you understand now? That was how, what you say, when the disciples believe. That's it. Because faith can only come from the message of Christ. And that message of Christ will be the promise of his resurrection in the Old Testament. So even seeing him was not equal to faith in Christ. You must see him in the written word. So again, Luke 24, 45. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand. Two words. The second word is the word tsunami. E-M-I. It means to put things together that they might understand the scriptures. So by the time he opened their understanding, how did he open their understanding? The things written of me in the law, in the prophets, in the Psalms, concerning me. That is the opening. So, as that is open to you, the moment that is open to you, your heart is open for Jesus. Are you there? So, what was birthed will be faith. Persuasion. That's faith. So the moment that happened, as they understood, you know, you read other accounts, you read Matthew's account, you won't really hear what Jesus did to them. You just hear, they first didn't believe he was risen, then they came, then almost as they were saying, oh, they saw him, they worshipped. They said, all authority on heaven has been given to me. Ah. So he just saw them. So, oh, it's you. They said, some doubted, some worshipped, some saw him. He said, now you can understand that story now. That happened over a space of days. Then Mark 16:14 says, he upbraided them for their unbelief. They had not believed the story of the women that had risen from the dead. So that Mark 16:14, they say he upbraided them. What he did was to take them through the whole scripture. Then that's the next verse will now make sense. Go ye into all the world. Do you understand? So, the next verse will now make sense. So, what Matthew summarized, that I almost said nothing about, and Mark summarized, Luke gave it a detailed account. In fact, Luke said it like this. You know, Acts 1:8, pay attention, Acts 1:8, Luke 24:49 are the same thing. Acts 1:8, Luke 24:49 are the same thing. But in Acts 1:2 and 3, Luke says he spent 40 days. So what we hear, he took them through all the scriptures, happened in 40 days. That's why it's been so difficult to know when they got saved. But we can pick it now. Can you see it? When he opened their understanding. Because he rebuked them, for they did not believe all that the prophet has spoken. It's not every word of the prophet that you should believe. What you ought to believe is the word concerning who?
Christ.
So when you hear, I'm the Lord that killeth and maketh alive, that's not the word of Christ. I'm he that darkness and light. That's not, that is a confused prophet. You get it? But when you hear, arise, shine, the light is come. Light is found in him. In him is no darkness at all. So you pick that. Words of faith. Are you there? So you, in the words of faith, you will see what God will do for man. Not do to him. For him. Who has believed our report. So, Isaiah agreed that all of them have one report. Which is Christ. Isaiah 53 verse 1. So, the moment that happened, verse 47 will now make sense. Look at it. Luke 24. Are you learning something? 47. And said unto them, thus it is written. Can you see it? And thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Their minds were now open. Say, oh, and that repentance. Can you see this? And remission of sins. So, pay attention. Repentance will be what? Don't lose this thing. Repentance will be what? To turn your mind to see. So repentance in what? In the scriptures. What is repentance in the scriptures? What would you see? The remission of sins. We will only know Christ in the Old Testament by what? By what? The remission of sins will now be preached in all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, when you say preached, preach means to announce. Why did he use preached? Because it has happened. So you are now going to preach what? You will preach the Old Testament that this has happened. Do you understand now? So the gospel will be, it is written and it has happened. It was prophesied in faith. It is also preached in faith. Are you there? So, as he said that, you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send you the promise of my Father, verse 49, upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued power from on high. He led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. He came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried into them. Can you see that this is exactly Acts 1:8? Are you following this? So, you can say Acts 1:1-8 is Luke 24:25-47. Sorry. Now 49. The same thing. Put the two together, you are reading the same account. But one thing Acts will tell you is that it happened within how many days? 40 days. If he took his own disciples 40 days to open their, you see in one Bible study, now open their understanding. 40 days. Don't rush people today. Even some believers. You sit down to tell them, oh fool. Didn't Paul say foolish Galatians? Do you understand? Took him a while. Step by step, Bible study. Can see? Bible study is the life wire of Christianity. It is. When it was done, look at verse 52. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with what? Great joy. Great joy. Chara is the word there. Great. You use chara based on news. You see it in Matthew 2:10 as well. It's used 59 times. Much joy. Let me show you an account. I think we need to look at that. John 20. This will make sense now. Okay? Now, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where disciples were absent for the fear of the Jews, and Jesus came and stood and said, "Peace be unto you." Have you read this before? Was this in Luke's account? Was this in Luke's account? Yes. Said unto them, showed his hands and side, and they were glad when they saw the Lord. I said, "The peace be unto you." They said, "The peace be unto you. Father has sent me, even so I send thee." And he said this to me. And when he said this, he breathed on them, saying, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Now, in the name of the Father, listen very well. When he said he breathed on them, saying, it's used one time in the entire Bible. It's the word empusao. E-M-P-U-S-A-O. It almost has a very obscure meaning. Because empusao has to happen in a man. So it's not like it's like this. What would that mean? No. What breathed on them were the words he said. So this is John's account of did our hearts not burn as he opened to us what? The scriptures. So the breathing was not, the breathing was his explanation of what? The scriptures. Is it very clear? You can see that John 20, 21, 23 is the same account we have been reading. Is it making any sense here? So, it's the same thing in Ezekiel 37 verse 5. When the prophet was told, "Can these dry bones live?" prophesied to them, and he spoke. So it's the words, that's the similarity of the word emposao in the Old Testament. Where you have the word ruach, that is life. Something became lively. Obviously, what became lively was their understanding. People assume that just said, and they became born again. No. It has to be faith in the scriptures. Are you there? Is that very clear? So when he says, whatever sins you remit, whatever sins you retain, that is the same thing he said, go and preach. So can you put all the accounts together now? The Matthew account, the Luke account, the Mark account, and the John account. Does it make sense to everybody? So what he breathed on will be what? Their understanding. And how did he do it? By literally, no, it's by explaining the scripture. So when you put the four accounts together, does it make sense to you? Very good. So is it clear that salvation is from the written word? It's not an experiential thing. You saw an angel or you fell down somewhere. No. It has to be from the written word about Christ. Are you there? Hence you will see their persuasion. Did you notice that? When Peter was going to speak on the day of Pentecost, he quoted from the scriptures. So Jesus lays a pattern. That when you want to talk about God, you talk about God in Christ from the scriptures. That's what he did. Acts 2, Acts 3, Acts 4. When Paul got on the scene, you know that despite the fact that Paul saw a revelation of Jesus in a vision, Paul's gospel was centered around the Holy Scriptures. So a vision is not the gospel. An experience is not the gospel. Seeing, even we have people who have started touching in Nigeria by saying they heard a snake. You know? Someone said, it was just right. pushing his cart. Just said, I'm calling you. I'm calling you. He dropped his cart. Then went to start a church. And we can see the churches today. That doesn't have an apostolic pattern. The scriptures. So, according to the scriptures. 2 Corinthians 4. You learn something? Okay. If our gospel be hid, verse 3, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds. So, you know, it's in the mind of man that we find the will of man. That will of man was designed by God to believe. To them that believe not. So, believing, for you to say believe not, that means he can believe. So, man was made by God. Everybody born into this world is a believing spirit. Is made to believe. Everybody. So, you are equipped by God to believe. So, please knock out all those man who are born as sinners. It doesn't make sense. Okay? Is that clear? Okay. So, by saying repentance, so can we place that repentance now as believing all that the prophet has spoken? Huh? Repentance and remission of sin should be preached. So, if I preach, when remission of sin is preached, when you preach a news, the response is what? To believe. That believing is what is referred to as repentance. Is that clear? It's the same thing. He that believes, Mark 16:15, same thing, and is baptized shall be saved. So, the gospel is the only truth about God in the Old Testament. The gospel is the only truth about God in the Old Testament. That's a hard sell. The gospel of Jesus, of Christ, is the only truth about God in the Old Testament. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Hope I see battling eternal salvation. Left that for babies. You are studying to find out how God may not save. How can that be a message of faith? I want to prove to you that a man can lose salvation. Give me some things. I'll prove to you. No, you are not well. I asked him what I said. If we, assuming, though I don't say those things, because I think it's for children. Assuming someone says that, a man is saved, no matter what happens. How does that reduce the glory of God? Does it reduce glory of God? Or what makes God good is that, be careful. What he has given you can be lost. Is that what glorifies him? It doesn't make sense. And you want to, someone said, Brother Kenneth Hagin said that there are three people who lost their salvation in his lifetime. I said, so you want to increase the number? As if we don't consider it is even true. So by telling us, so that we can enlist more people, give yourself brain now. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? So let's leave that for babies. Okay? Now look at this. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, a new creature, all things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. Look at 18. All things are of God. So we say, all things are of God is this. who has reconciled us to himself by who? Jesus Christ. And has given to us the ministry of, where is that ministry? Where is that ministry written? The Old Testament. Are you following this? So all things that are of God in the Old Testament is the ministry of reconciliation. The word catalate, we saw it the other time. So the character of God in the Old Testament is what? Catalate. And catalasso. The only act of God you will find in the Old Testament is that he stretches his hand to reconcile. A difficult thing, right? We have already said God is marked out in Christ in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ is not the twin of the bad side of God. He's the good side of the bad side. No. That is God. John said the law was given by Moses. That means it was a choice. Grace and truth, or grace which is the truth, exists as Christ. Amen. So all those grace is to change you. Grace is just ignorance. Yeah. The grace doesn't just save you from sin. He stops you from sinning. You are so ignorant. So ignorant. Praise God. Let's go further. He says, he has given to us what ministry? Go back. Don't lose what he said. All things are of God. So, what are the things of God? If you are preaching God, what would you be preaching? The ministry of reconciliation. If you go and look for what happened to Samson, if you like, do an Hebrew Greek study on it and write a book. You just wrote nonsense. What happened to what the news about God in the Old Testament is the ministry of reconciliation. That's what it is. Catalate. Pay attention to something. Verse 19 is the beauty of it. To wit, God, people think it's just young of this verse. I call it the charter of the gospel. This is it. This is it. This is the good news about God in the Old Testament. So this is not, don't forget, this is, whatever we're going to verse 19 is in the Old Testament. Is that clear to everybody? God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, and not counting their sins. So anytime you see sins counted in the Old Testament, that was not God. God only acts is reconciliation. And let me explain reconciliation. You know, we said that on Monday, that sin is a man abandoning God. Don't forget that. So reconciliation will be God going after a man who has abandoned him. So he has never left the sinner. You get that? Not counting. The word there is logizomai. Not counting. So it says the message of reconciliation. Not counting their sins. Praise God. Not. That's why Jesus said, for God sent not his son to the world to condemn the world. That is the world, everybody. But that the world through him might be saved. How are they saved? He that believes. The moment faith is not what we do, is not God that spoke. If you have step one, step two, just forget it. You hurt somebody else. The utterance of God has to be consistently a word of faith. Consistently. Are you there? So, in the Old Testament, we will see God only in reconciling. Only. You will also see man abandoning that. Are you there? Now, verse 20. We are ambassadors of God for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So, that means our message is a message of faith. So what we do is that we now beseech men. God is not angry with you. He's not a New Testament disposition of God. God has never been. So we present that. There is a human coloration present in the Old Testament where man saw God, as angry as this. When prophets were angry, they said it was God. When angels were angry, they said it was God. And Jesus said, come. Did you see anybody? He said, no. Did you hear any voice? He said, no. He said, you search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. You won't come to me that you may have what? That means you can go to the scriptures and see other people. But when you come to Christ in the scriptures, you will only find life. The Old Testament, though. John 5:33 and 40. He said, Moses wrote of me. If you believe Moses, you'll have believed me. He said in the same breath, Moses accused you. So you will always find two things in the Old Testament. The accusation and eternal life. An accusation is not about him. But eternal life is about him. So the Old Testament needs to be carefully, clinically studied to see the character of God. Are we there? Are we there? So when it says God was in Christ, how is he in Christ? Verse 21. He made him sin for us who knew no sin. Why did Paul say that? So that you will know it was not God who collected offering. because the law of sin and death painted God like the one in the temple. He was never in the temple. The moment they put, because the law of sin and death will always emphasize man's separation from God. So by putting God in the temple, which he wasn't, or it was being omnipresent, we'll say he's there. The law painted God as going away from man. Whereas, before they all went to that temple, God was with them. But the law, painted the exact opposite. God didn't ask for sacrifice. The law said bring sacrifice. God promised to be the sacrifice for man. The Lord will make you take the place of God. And then God now takes the place of the devil or sin. Better still. Where is the blood? Where is the blood? It's God that commended his love towards us. Why were you sinners? Christ died for us. It's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin, not the Lamb for God. All those things will be corrected when you see the tenses and the way the epistles put it. I'm serious about what I'm about to say. We really need New Testament churches in Nigeria. There's a huge problem. People cannot discern. When you understand the New Testament, some say, well, that's the God of the New Testament, is too slow. Because the person they thought was God in the Old Testament was not God. If they knew God, why did Jesus come? It says, no man, John 1:18, had seen God at any time, except the Son, who has explained him. The word there is exegesis. That is, I didn't just come to die for sins, which is vital. But in dying for sins, and in my character and my action, I will explain God. Are you there? I will explain God. So that is important. We'll tackle more of that on Monday anyway, but just let's see this. So John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. This is vital now because we are coming to those areas now where you have to really be alert. My God, we have stuff here. In the beginning was the Word, which is Logos. We said Logos can mean what? Thought or conversation. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:1. So God has an explanation. It's not mysterious. And that explanation is the person of Jesus. When you use the word logos, you mean to have an explanation. So John 1:18, he uses the word exegomai, that he may declare him, which is to explain. Or what we can call exegesis. So they're writing something, writing quickly and say, Christ is the exegesis of God, not any other person. He is the exegesis of God. He is the one that openly that declares God so plainly and says, oh, is it Elijah you want to trust? Which of them do you want to trust? None. The only one you should have faith in is Christ. You shouldn't have faith in Moses or have faith in Abraham. You should have faith in Christ. And he was in their utterances. He was not in their behavior, but in their utterances. So you see the word Ezekomai in Luke 24:35, Acts 10:8, Acts 15:12, Acts 15:14, and Acts 21:19. I'll take it again. Luke 24:35, Acts 10:8, Acts 15:12, Acts 15:14, Acts 21:19. Now go back to that John 1. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Carefully follow John, don't lose it. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't comprehend it. The word shineth is the word pano. It means to become visible, P-H-A-N-O. And when you use the word light, it is P-H-O-S, which is false. It means it's not a light that gets light. It's the very source of light. P-H-O-S. So that means we'll need to go back to Genesis to understand what he's saying. In the beginning. So go to Genesis 1:1. So it means that we can find the explanation of God in Genesis. Are we there? So we'll take Christ to Genesis. We'll be confused. We'll take Christ to Genesis. He is the explanation of God. And in him was what? Life. So Genesis 1. Again, give me till Monday. We'll take a purview of the kind of teaching ministry Moses had. Don't forget, Moses wrote Genesis and Exodus not to the church. So the language is excusable. How else should he have presented things to Israel 40 years? So here he was. In the beginning was the word. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, tohu bohu, there was nothing. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Can you see John now? And John says, in him was life, and the life was the light. So, darkness here will be the absence of God, correct? Correct. 1 John 1:5, in him is no darkness at all. James 1:17, without variableness, neither shadow or turning. John 8:12. He that follows me will not walk in darkness. So darkness is not his making, is not his presence. So the only place you can find this darkness will be in the heart of man. Moses. So go to chapter 2. Don't forget, God and his character will be found in the explanation, which is found in Christ. Was it on Tuesday? Yeah, I think so. Okay, let's look at this. Genesis 2:1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Okay, hold on. Yeah, on Tuesday. What did he corrupt the mind of, the serpent, corrupt the mind of Eve about? What is simplicity? The generosity of God. That means the work of the serpent in the garden. That's why Jesus called it a lie. It was to take the mind of, the issue, Jesus, how do I say this? The issue was not man sinning. It was. Okay, let's move further. The role of the serpent there was to twist man's impression of God. And it is still the issue now that God is so angry when a man sins, that God does not want. That is still the lie. Jesus never acted like that. I know in your mind, you are pausing. Hey, are we sure this is God? Are we sure this is God that Pastor is talking about? It is the same subtlety of the serpent. The failure to see God as generous from the onset. So, let me say this. You know, we have some guys say they are perfectionists. Like, say, what have you done? God is not a perfectionist. Don't go out of the church. Was Jesus a perfectionist? Jesus blew the minds of all the religious leaders because they were following the law of sin and death, not the word. They said, how can he be sinners? How can he be sinners? How can he be sinners? And they were hypocrites, so don't forget. Because the law of sin and death creates hypocrisy. The perfection of the law of sin and death is hypocrisy at the highest level. Are you there? Let's start again. You believe that Jesus is God. Okay, was God. Okay, so look at this now. So, there was a simplicity that was in God. Amen. So, the work of Satan was to corrupt the mind of Eve and deceive. That's why till today, people cannot say this is what man did. They can't lay hands on any moral failure of Adam. What is the original sin? What is that first sin? Did he steal an animal? They were all Eve. Did he have a girlfriend? Who did he lie to? Eve. Do you understand? So follow this. Genesis 2. And thus, the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. Pay attention. On the seventh day, peace, observe Moses. God ended his work which he had made. He rested on the seventh day, all his work which he had made. Don't lose this. The word rested is the word sabbath. S-H-A-B-A-T-H. It actually means to fail in the Hebrew, which is to stop, to cease, to stop. Now this is written in a dark speech. It couldn't have been God who had this rest. No. Look at the next one. He blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which God, can you see now? He said, he had rested from all his work, which God created. So whose rest was this? Huh? Man. This rest was for man. Let's look at this. In Hebrews 4, verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into what? Rest. As he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although what? The works were finished from the foundation of the world. So this is a prophecy in Psalm 95, verse 1, verse 11. Unto whom I swore in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. This was spoken about the children of Israel. Now, when was that rest available? When has that rest been available? Huh? From the foundation of the world. That's what he said. Right? So, go to Hebrews 4 again. For he spake in a certain place at the seventh day on this wise. God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. So, there was prophecy, which Hebrews 1:1 had already told you, God was so many times in diverse manner, spoken in time past to the fathers by the prophets. So he says, again. Now, you use the word again for something that had been said before. It's the word palim. So when was the first time this was said? Genesis 2, verse 3. Is it clear? So, Psalm 95, verse 11 was a repetition. So, the rest was before the foundation of the world. How do you enter into the rest? How? By believing. Is it consistent now? So, God's word consistently has only had one response. What is it? What is it? Faith. So, was there the gospel before Adam sinned? I'm asking a question. Was there the gospel before Adam sinned? What was that gospel? The character of God. He will not count sins. Is it making sense here? Follow this. So, rest was offered, which is entered in by faith. So, what was the issue with Adam? He has still looked. So the real issue will be unbelief. Remember the very first question. I heard your voice. Huh? I heard your voice and I hid because I was naked. Do you know he was naked before the serpent came? That was why God said, who told you? So, there was no broken fellowship because of man's nakedness. The broken fellowship, as it were, was because of condemnation. Who told you? What have you done? Have you eaten? That is, have you come to the knowledge of sin? Are you there? Why are you all quiet? We did this on Tuesday now. Okay, let's go back. Genesis 2. Are you there? Before Adam, before the serpent came, had man sinned? This is the crucial part. Was man perfect before the serpent came? So, what was that tree? It was knowledge. Did God move from man because man was not good? No. Who moved? Man did. That is why he says God was in Christ reconciling. Let's go back. See something. Genesis 2:18. Look up. Let us say something. Because I think, sorry, your pen is shaking. Does God count sins? Did God used to count sin? Is it clear? So that means the issue with Adam and Eve was not sin. Amen. Let's go back there. Genesis 2:18. When we get into forgiveness of sin, you'll be glad. Genesis 2:18. The Lord said unto, he said, it is not good, remember that, it is not to who, okay, that man should be what? Alone, which is the word bad in the Hebrew, B-A-D. The word bad is the word isolated. It means isolated. And this is not talking about marriage at all. Leviticus 13:46. Psalm 102:7. Psalm 14:31. Leviticus 13:46. Psalm 102:7. Isaiah 14:31. Hosea 8:9. Leviticus 13:46. B-A-D is the word, bad. Psalm 102:7. Isaiah 14:31. Hosea 8:9. Now look at Genesis 30:40. Where you have the word bad. Just want to check it in Genesis. And Jacob did separate the lambs. Okay? He separates the lambs. That's the word separate. It's not good for man to be separate. This text has never been used for marriage in the entire Bible. Not once. It's even interesting because there were several people who were not without, who were without wives. We don't even have a record that Abel had a wife. It was Cain who had a wife. So, go back again. We said, we'll make an help. Remember the word help? Ezar. A deliverer. That's not a woman. Meet for him. Genesis 2:18. So all you married counselors, you went out of the Bible. And out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field. And okay, notice the word we make and help meet for him. What does that mean? We what? We said it on Tuesday. We what? We tell him. So God said, okay, fine, it's not good for man to be separate. We tell you. So God was communicating to him again, consistently, about Jesus. Now look at this. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see that what he would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name. And Adam gave names to all cattle. And then look at something interesting. Adam For Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. Why was he looking for helpmeet? What do you call this action? What do you call this action? The word found by who? Was it God looking for an helpmeet for him? I'm asking a question. Who was looking for an helpmeet? What was that action? Wait. Who told him of an helpmeet? Why was he looking for an helpmeet? So can you see his steps? So when he said it's not good, it actually was not good. Look at this. The word found is in Genesis 4:14. Everyone that findeth me shall sleep. It's the same word, Matzah. And 15. Vengeance shall be taken on him. So, he says the same thing. That is found of him, taken of him. So, God said, I will tell him of an help. His deliverer. Someone that will help him out of his troubles. What was Adam looking for? Outside God's word. This is not evil. The minute you think it's Eve, you lose the entire story. Are you there? The helper, the word Ezar, we did our study on Tuesday, was used for who singularly? God. One who delivers out of trouble. That's not your wife, no. In fact, in marriage, that's the other way around. So, what is the deliverance out of trouble? In him was what? Life. And the life was the light of men. Are you there? So when you hear Romans 5:12, through one man, sin entered into the world. And death by sin. Look at this. The job of Satan in that scenario was to be an accuser and to beguile. And that is still his job. An accuser. Revelation 12, 10 and 11 says, calls him the accuser of the brethren. That's the Greek word kategorio, right? The accuser of the brethren. To pick faults. So was there a fault before Genesis 3? Yes. Is it clear? Was there a fault before Genesis 3? Yes. Was God counting the fault? No. Did God provide help? Yes. Let me tell you if you're following this. Okay. So, look at John 8:44. Don't forget, what was the job of Satan in the garden? The place where we will know is Eve. 1 Timothy 2:14, she was deceived. Adam was not deceived. So, deceived means there was something painted to you that was not true. Second Corinthians 11:3. From the simplicity that is in who? That is in Christ. So, what did Satan do to Eve? Corrupted our mind from the simplicity. Aplotis, the generosity. Which is, even if you lack it, I will give you. God did not get born again in Christ. Are you following us? Christ only explains what God has always been doing. Is it clear? Is this clear? The challenge you are having is submitting to Christ. The moment you don't submit to Christ, you begin to say, hey, the God of Elijah. If you find a believer, when you get born again, you have not been to church all your life. So you don't know anything in the Bible, you don't know anything, and as you got born again, they just gave you the four Gospels, and the book of Acts, and the epistles. You have more talent than we are having. You just say, wow. You get it. But if you have been through the fire, and you have been through the other day, and then say, God. You know the problem to say that God now had mercy. You have a problem. That's not the issue. We can accept that yes, God was a God of justice, but then he gave his son so that he can meet himself, the God of justice, you know. So, he was never, you have a problem. The issue is not us accepting that God is good, is accepting that he has always been like that. And only the gospel defines him. Only the gospel. Amen. Let's go further. Don't forget what scripture said we're going to leave hanging. Sin was in the world, but it was not imputed. We left that place hanging. It will become relevant. Maybe this year or in the years to come. John 8:44. Are you learning something? I was telling someone today when we were trying to share about Hebrews 6. I said there are some things that if you observe, I don't share them on social media because it'll be confusing. You must lay things step by step. If you are coming for the first time today, you know you will be a bit back. You didn't attend seven churches. Don't ever seven churches. You didn't attend. Why did you read the epistles? So there's something that has been said. So I told the fellow, I said, by the time you pick Hebrews 6, you are creating the same confusion those who interpret that verse interpreted wrongly. Because the point is this. The time with Hebrews 6 is that everybody has read it in isolation. So everybody is like, well, many people. Don't know everybody. In isolation. So if you observe, I don't go into it. I just say, go and listen to this teaching. So nobody has come back to say it was not clear. So sometimes it's just the wisdom by which you communicate. It's not everything you say at once. It's not everything you even say in some places. John 8:44. You are of your father the devil. The lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So the very first statements of Satan were what? It was to twist the gospel about Jesus. So that is why people have not been able to identify what did he do. It was to twist the fact that God will not count things. That's all. That's all. That is all. And that is what he is still a very consistent fellow. That's what he still does today. His everlasting role is accuser of the brethren. Are you there? So, unbelief was the issue. The Son, so what is the truth? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What is the truth? He, the Son, will set free. Will make you free. Pay attention. What was the help? Ezar. To help. So there was help. There was help in the garden. It took a while for the accuser to get involved. But what did he do wrong? God cannot tell you. He doesn't count sin. Sin was in the world, but it was not imputed. Are you there? Let's leave that out. So, the father of that lie is the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. Did he kill anybody? No. The murder had to do with the hatred for that truth. That's what it is. Look at the word murderer. Don't mind the way King James put it. It's the word anthropoktonos. When you have anthropoktonos, what are you talking about? Man. Anthropology. Anthropoktonos, that means from the beginning to kill man. Anthropos is man. So, 1 John 3:15 uses the same term, a murderer from the beginning. Notice the issue with Cain. The issue with Cain, again, was hatred for what? For justification by faith. Are you there? The hatred. That's the hatred of the world. Justification by faith. You know it was Abel that John, you know, John didn't have Paul's temerity. It was Paul that entered the garden. John started his own book, Genesis 4. Abel and Cain. The dear Peter started from Noah. You know. Now they said, Paul, he knows some things that I actually understood. It was only Paul that said, let's start from the beginning. And he unearthed it. He said, come. Before the law was given, what was the character of God? Blessed is the man in whom the Lord will not impute sin. He said, God, he said, he justified the ungodly. So, that just messed up the law. Now, what are you talking about? What did Abraham discover? So, I've been told Adam was looking for something else. So, you go back to the Garden of Eden and you see that the issue with Adam remained works. Self-righteousness. We'll see. Just calm down. So, now look at Hebrews 2. It says, he delivered them who through fear were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Who through what? Fear. So all through the lifetime of man. Now, fear of what? Fear of God. The truth the devil will twist is the truth about who? God. So the gospel saves us and also corrects our impression about God. That salvation is a correct impression of God. That is why it is called forgiveness of sins. So forgiveness of sins is what makes you know who God is. Are you there? So if you're preaching that he wants you to stop sin, yes, you will stop sin. But that is not the character of God is not stopping sin. He said, look, I will not count it. You like, go and jump into the river. Your wahala. So, pay attention. Man, we said, we're going to explore this. Man was made a believing spirit. He was made to believe God. You know, people keep saying that there's nobody, we know that nobody is perfect. It's contradictory. And nobody can be without, we know that nobody, but we should strive unto it. See the lie of the devil. See the lie. It paints God like demanding for it. One bottle for me next week. And then your mind will be rest assured. That character of God, when you know it, is vital. Follow on. So, Jesus says when he speaks a lie, Jesus calls him a lie. When you have the word pseudo, P-S-U-O-L-D-O-S, P-S-U-O-L-D-O-S. Every time the word pseudo is used towards man. Romans 1:25. Ephesians 4:25. Romans 1:25. Ephesians 4:25. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-11. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-11. Let's look at 1 John 2:21. Are you learning something? 1 John 2:21. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know the truth and the lies of the truth. No lies of the truth. 22. Who is a liar? But he that denies that Jesus is the Christ. So you can, truth is centered around Christ. Pay attention. 1 John 2:27, the same thing. Revelation 14:5, just write it down, check it on your own. Revelation 14:5, Revelation 21:27, Revelation 22:15. So, can we call a lie denying the Son? So, what happened in the garden? Was he denying the Son? Was that denial of the Son? Yes. That was what he did at the beginning. What was Jesus talking to the Jews about? Denying him. He said, this is exactly what he did at the beginning. What is the Son here to do? To set free. Consistent truth. So, go to John 8 again. A liar distorts the truth. John 8:55. You have not known him, but I have known him, but if I should say I know him not, that's the Father. I shall be a liar unto you, but I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. What did Abraham see? Justification by faith. Same thing. Romans 3:4. So a lie is about Christ Jesus. Romans 3:4. God forbid God be true, and every man a liar, as is written, thou mayest be justified in thy sayings, and may overcome when thou art judged. Every man's testimony causes a liar, a lie. 1 Timothy 1:10. I'll put that later. Look at Titus 1:12 too. Titus 1:12. Now, very vitally, is 1 John 1:10. 1 John 1:10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. What is he saying? If he says you have not sinned, then what has the blood of Jesus done? So again, you deny. What is his word? His word is that the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sins. If you say I have not sinned, then you make God what? A liar. You know, it's not about, where are you coming from? I'm coming from Lagos. I'm coming from Abuja. That's not what he's talking about, though. It is to deny what God has done in Christ. You see the same truth. Same thing, 1 John 2:22. It's as for Jesus. 1 John 2:22. 1 John 4:10. Erring is love. 1 John 4:20, sorry. If a man says, I love God and hates his brother, this is where we're coming to. He's a liar, later, for he either loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Note that. 1 John 5:10. This is vital. He that believes on the Son had the witness in himself. He that believes not God has made him a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. Are you there? So a lie or a truth is centered around the person of Jesus. Don't forget that. So it distorts the truth. So go back to Genesis 3. So whatever Satan did, the serpent did in Genesis 3, must be related to who? Christ. It's not to trees. Genesis 3. I'll start from verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where are you? And he said, which is rhetorical, I heard that voice in the garden and I was afraid. Can you see this? Who through all their lifetime were fear? Fear of who? Fear of God. Look at Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2. And delivered them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So, what was the fear directed at? God. This is exactly what happened in the garden. Look at this. Because I was naked and hid myself. Please go to chapter 2, verse 25. They were both naked, and the man's wife, and they were not ashamed. Are you following this? So the next question is, who told you you were naked? The same word I will tell him of an helper. Who told you that you were naked? Was the issue you were naked? No. Because they were naked until the serpent came. Who told you? That was the first question. Where are you? Was the first question. Pardon me. I hid myself. Was that the first time you will be naked? No. Was the voice of God in that because he was naked? No. So who ran away? Man. Why? Because of what he was told. Who told you that you were naked? Pay attention. Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded that you should not eat? So the tree was knowledge. Is it making sense to you? The tree was an information. So, when you hear the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we'll check this later. That didn't come from God. Because everything God saw when he created the world, he said it was good. So evil will be what? Knowledge of good and evil. Okay, we'll see. Let's leave that. So we're going to borrow from Moses' writings to understand what he was saying. So when the Hebrew calls sin, which we're going to explore very detailed on Monday and Tuesday, sin is used for being crooked. That's the word, being crooked, bent, is actually the word, being bent. Go to Romans 3:23. So before we go further, what was the job of the serpent in the garden? Accuse, and to what? Do you know that the same word used for accuser is the word that Jesus used for Moses' writings? Moses accused you. So the law of sin and death and the knowledge of good and evil are one and the same. They are one and the same. Let's go further. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We explore that to mean the statement of the law. But look at the word come short. It's the word hustereo. H-U-S-T-E-R-E-O. It actually defines sin more than any other scripture. Here. It means to be in need. The word hustereo. I'll give you, it means to lack something. So, when you say sinned, you mean come short of the glory. You are in need. Pay attention. The word is lack. To not have. It doesn't mean to lose. No. It means to lack. You find in Matthew 19:20, Mark 10:21, Luke 15:14. I'll just run through it for you. Check it yourself. Matthew 19:20, Mark 10:21, Luke 15:14. Then Luke 23:35. Luke 15:14, Luke 22:35. John 2:3. Then in the epistles, of course, Romans 3:23. Then 1 Corinthians 1:7. You came behind in no gift. 1 Corinthians 8:8. First Corinthians 12:24. 1 Corinthians 8:8. 1 Corinthians 12:24. 2 Corinthians 11:5. And 2 Corinthians 11:9. 2 Corinthians 12:11. Then Philippians 4:12. I know how to suffer lack. Then quickly, Hebrews 11:27 and Hebrews 12:15. One key one. In God's holy name, don't lose this one. Hebrews 4:1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Mark that. Very key text. What was the promise? Rest. Any of you should seem to come short of it. He calls it the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Let's go back to the book of Romans and explore the term glory of God. Then we can close from there. What will be the glory of God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 23. God helping us. Now read it without religious glasses. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified what? Mark it. By his grace through the redemption that is in where? Christ Jesus. So Romans 2:7. Just mark that and go and give it some thinking and read it within the context of what Paul was saying. Romans 2:7. To whom? To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor, immortality and eternal life. Romans 4:20. Giving glory to God or glorifying God, glorying in God. I jumped. Romans 1:23. Which should have been my first text. Who changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Romans 1:23. Quickly, Romans 6:4. Christ was raised from up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Romans 5:2. I jumped. By whom also we have access by faith unto his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Romans 9:4. Well, before that, Romans 8:18. Sorry. Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Romans 8:18. Romans 8:21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty, the same word, doxa, liberty of the children of God. Then Romans 9:4. who are the Israelites to whom pertains the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Romans 9:23. That he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory. Romans 9:23. Now, a key fact about this is that the glory is what God does. Never forget that. The glory is what God does. So, write this down. It's for your study. You can check it yourself. Romans 1:23, therefore, we'll talk about the knowledge of it. Romans 1:23. Romans 3:7, again, is his glory. Romans 6:4 will be the gospel. And every other text we have read will be what God will do for man. So God has always been on man's side. Always. So we find the character of God consistent in his conversation in Christ. The beginning was the message, the Logos. The Logos was with God, and God was the Logos. That was why John, you know, John's writing was both doctrinal and eyewitness. He put his eye one side, used his spirit at the point. He says the word became flesh. And look at everything he said about Jesus. As many as received him, to them gave he the power. So if you received him at any point, what he'll give you is the power to become sons of God. At any point. At any point. If you receive the word, which is God, he gives you power to become sons of God. Even to them that believe not on his name. Not of wood of man, not of blood of the flesh. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. I will be held as the Holy God the Father, full of grace and truth. Then he says to us, of his fullness. So where is the fullness? In the person of Jesus. I've always received grace for grace. So it's not an afterthought character of God. And you know, the grace of God simply means he doesn't demand, he gives. So right from the garden, when Adam faltered, he gave. Consistently. So verse 17, John now says, the law was given by Moses. The law came how many years after? Grace, which is the reality, hallelujah, existed by Jesus Christ. So when we say grace, that is the word. That is the conversation of God. That is the logos of God towards man. The ezar, help meet the life, the tree of the knowledge, or the tree of life, pardon me, the grace of God, is utterances. And when you see Cain, hate, Cain's hatred is typical of the works of the law. What's the special about this guy? Righteousness through faith. For his gift testified by faith. So we stop till Monday.